Top Dealers of America presents The Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, James Mason, Fulton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. Yours truly, Kenny Delmar, is here to remind you that starting tonight, your host for The Fred Allen Show is your friendly Ford dealer. What Fred Allen is to comedy, what cheese is to pie, what Abbott is to Costello, what Tiddly is to Wink, that's what your friendly Ford dealer is to your Ford. Because your Ford dealer knows your Ford best. For every service need, it will pay you to remember that it pays to bring your Ford back home for service.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the Ford dealers start their new program by introducing an old model.
You're not kidding.
And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland tonight, we have a lot of work to do. Now that this is the Ford Dealers program, you know, we really should have a Ford slogan or something like that. Ford Dealers, you know.
I was up all night writing a jingle.
Oh, really? A Ford Dealers jingle? How does it go?
If your car is on the bum, if your motor doesn't hum, your Ford dealer is the man for you. He will fix it as good as new.
Say, that's very good, you know. Even the DeMarcos are applauding. They know they have no competition. Hearing that singing, Portland, for a minute, you know, I thought this was the Prudential Hour. I think we'd better let the Ford dealers decide on their own jingles. Tell me, what's in the news this week?
Hildegard was robbed.
Say, I read that.
The burglars took her jewels and fur coat.
Well, I know. You know, when the police got there, Hildegard found that her French accent was gone, too. What did they search two waiters at Longchamp? They thought, what else is new?
Low State Theater stopped Vaudeville.
Oh, I hate to see Vaudeville go. You know, a lot of big stars played Low State.
Didn't Jack Benny play there?
Yes, Little Axe worked there, too. What an act Benny used to do. You know, his best was an American flag. He used to wear a cellophane coat so you could look in and see the flag. For the finish of his act, Benny would play the glowworm and his violin would light up.
Is Jack really...
It shows he can't even get laughs on our program.
As he says he is.
Gee, well, he's not doing himself justice. Even today, in Benny's house, they keep the food 2 feet off the ground. 2 feet off the ground. All of the food is hung that way, so that if a mouse does get anything to eat, he has to jump for it. You know, a mouse in Benny's house with a Charlie horse is really out of luck. Reminds me, Portland, I'm going to be out of it, too, if I don't start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, on December 26, 1947, New York City had its worst snowstorm since the famous blizzard of 1888. And so our question this evening is, down through the years, what is the worst storm you can recall?
Shall we go?
As Lee Schubert said when somebody asked him who else was in the business, it's Jake with me. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess this Senator Claghorn had a big New Year's Eve. There are 10 empty Broma Seltzer bottles on the front steps here. Well, let's knock.
Who, I say, who's whamming my naughty farm? Oh, it's you again, son.
Yes, Senator.
Well, son, I got the beezy weezy. Have I got a hangover?
You, Well,
my head feels like there's a porcupine in there pressing his quills against my eyeballs.
Irritating thought. New Year's Eve was too much for you, eh, Senator?
Well, Washington was jumping, son. Yeah. I was invited to 3 different parties.
3?
Yeah, I only went to 2 of them.
Well, why, Senator?
Son, I ain't messing around with no third party.
Yeah. I hope you're not neglecting business.
No, son, I'm working now on a bill to combat inflation.
Well, how can you stop rising prices?
I'm calling in every pair of suspenders in the country.
And when you have every pair of suspenders?
Things will start dropping.
Well, tell me, Senator, what is the worst storm you have ever seen?
Well, the worst snowstorm I ever seen was last week.
Was the snow bad down there in Washington?
Traffic was paralyzed, son. Yeah? Trains was canceled, cars were stalled, buses was tied up.
Gosh.
In Washington, only one thing was running.
What?
Henry Wallace. So long, son. Go on, Elliot.
Take more than snow to stop Henry, I guess. Well, let's not keep Mr. Moody waiting.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, what is the worst storm you ever remember?
Oh, I reckon it was back in the winter of 91.
It was a bad storm, eh?
Yes. It started off with the wind blowing for 2 days.
The wind, huh?
Yeah. Blew down the telephone wires.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's conversation was laying around all over the ground.
And when this terrific wind died down?
Then it snowed.
Yeah?
Flakes was coming down as big as buckwheat cakes.
Say.
It snowed steady for 2 whole weeks.
The snow must have covered everything.
Groundhogs was running around with divining rods, trying to find the holes.
What happened when the snow stopped?
Then it turned cold.
Well, how cold was it?
Well, sir, my brother, Luther St. Elbow Moody.
Yeah?
A 32nd degree Mason, he went down 10 degrees.
Did all of this snow and cold bother your cattle?
No. I had my cow all bundled up.
Bundled up, eh?
Yeah. Pulled over her horns, I had a big tam o'shanter.
Yeah?
Round her front legs, I wrapped some heavy Congress gaiters.
Good.
On the cow's back legs, I put an old pair of my fleece-lined pants.
Well, if your cow had pants on her back legs, how could you milk her?
I used to be a pickpocket.
Mr. Moody's in a rare mood this evening. Let's try this next door.
Howdy, Chappie.
Mrs. Nussbaum. What is the worst storm you ever remember?
The first year I am married, sometime back.
Well, naturally. How bad was the storm?
Well, we were living in a tenement, the ground floor suite.
You liked it?
Liked it. The ground floor is convenient.
How come?
When I'm going shopping, I'm simply stepping out the window. I'm on the street.
Oh, I see.
Coming back, I'm stepping in the window.
Yes?
Europa, I am home.
And on the day of the storm?
I'm stepping out the window and going to the movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing 3 double features, 1 newsreel, also surprise, a preview.
Yeah?
The zombie is giving it good to Frankenstein.
And while you were in the theater, the storm started, eh?
I'm coming out the streets with snow as mountains.
You set out for home?
Well, first I'm stopping by Max the Delicatessen buying cold cuts.
Uh-huh.
On Wednesdays, my husband Pierre is liking cold cuts.
A gourmet.
Every time.
Well, after buying the cold cuts, you came right home?
I'm walking on top of the snow. I'm stepping in the window. I am home.
And then?
I'm fixing up the cold cuts and sitting down to wait for my husband, Pierre.
Uh-huh.
Then it is happening.
What?
A man is stepping in the window.
Yes.
I'm coming from behind and kissing him.
Yes.
The man is turning around.
And?
Yeah, it is not Pierre.
Not Pierre? You were in the wrong apartment?
The snow is so deep, I'm stepping in a window 3 flights up.
Well, what happened?
Luckily, the stranger is liking cold cuts. We are eating dinner.
Well, here we are. Here we are at the end of the alley with Mr. Cassidy, I imagine, waiting as usual.
Here we are.
Well, Ajax, what is the worst? What is the worst storm you ever remember?
See, boy, that was back in '11.
'11.
I was a young bucko working in New York City as a mounted policeman.
A mounted policeman?
Well, no, the day of the storm, the devil was in me.
Yes.
Up 6th Avenue, I come galloping side saddle.
A mounted policeman riding side saddle?
Oh, I was handing the street cleaners a laugh.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm backing me horse into windshields and she's making her tail go like a wiper.
I see.
When I arrive at me post, 57th Street, the snow starts coming down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, at 2 o'clock, the snow is up over me horse's withers.
Yes.
At 3 o'clock, it's up over mine.
God.
At 5 o'clock, I'm under the snow entirely. Only me eyes is peeking out.
Yes.
Well, all at once, I seen a big lump coming under the snow.
Yes.
The lump pulls over to the curb.
You mean the lump?
It's a car. The driver is packing his lump next to a hydrant.
So what did you do?
Well, I got down off me horse. I'm in 8 feet of snow.
8 feet.
So I butter me way through and I give the car owner a ticket.
Well, how did you get back?
Well, I kept burrowing, feeling me way to the horse.
Fine.
I can't find the stirrup, but I jump up on top.
Good.
All but me head is still under the snow.
Yeah?
I yell, giddy up, and I'm off.
On your way back to the stable.
Right, me boy, I come to 59th Street. Me horse won't turn. I'm yelling, whoa, Bridget, whoa, now, whoa, whoa, Bridget won't whoa.
Won't whoa.
Whoosh, I go up Central Park West.
Yes.
Whoosh, I go up through Yonkers, through Mount Vernon. I come to Stamford. Whoa, I stop.
Say, your horse must have been exhausted.
What horse?
You mean that in that snow you hadn't gotten back on your horse?
I'd mounted the Boston bus. Goodbye, here.
Ladies and gentlemen, if one of your New Year resolutions is to hear Al Goodman every Sunday, you're about to keep your resolution. Regardless of what the five DeMarco sisters sing, the great Al Goodman will play Good News.
Other night I saw my lucky star. Saw that new moon shining from afar. Saw a horse and he was milky white. So I know that things will be all right. Good news, you're about to do me good. Come right here, do me good news. Good, 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 good news. For what I've waited for, I wasn't slated for blue. Good news is welcome to me. Yes, it's welcome to me. So, Mr. Good News, you're about to do me good. Come right here, do me good news.
Good, good,
good news.
Good news, good news,
good news, good news. You're about to do me good. Come right here, do me good news. Good news is welcome to me. Bad news is good.
Don't you come to me.
So, Mr. Good News, you're about to do me good. Come right here, do me good.
Good news,
good news,
good news,
good news. Good, 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 good news.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen...
Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
There's a man here to see you. He's a Ford dealer.
A Ford dealer? Kenny, don't tell me we're fired already. Where is the man?
Why, he's right here, Fred.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Well, sir, I'm certainly happy to meet you.
And I'm mighty happy to meet you, Mr. Allen. We Ford dealers are certainly glad you're working with us now.
Well, I like the way you say working with instead of for. That's what I want to do. Now, if you'll tell me what you want me to get across...
Well, Mr. Allen, if you can impress on all Ford owners...
Yes?
...that it pays, it costs less to bring a Ford back home for service.
It pays to bring a Ford back home for service. I'll make a note of that.
That's the big point, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You see, we Ford dealers really know and understand Fords inside and out.
Say, you know, I may be able to get Portman to coin a phrase to express that. You know, something snappy like, your Ford dealer knows your Ford from A to Z.
Very good, Mr. Allen.
Uh-huh.
With your salesmanship and our down-to-earth know-how, I think we're going to get along fine.
Well, thanks a lot for dropping in.
So long, Mr. Allen.
Hey, nice to meet you. We have just previewed the first eight bars of Dance Ballerina. played by Maestro Al Goodman and 25 musicians who, now that they're working for Ford, have stopped listening to Chrysler. Hey, Portland.
Yes?
Will you hand me that little book on the piano there, please?
This one?
Yes, it's John Steinbeck's new story, The Pearl.
The Pearl? Is it about an oyster?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't read it yet. It cost me 3 clams, I know that.
Why do oysters make pearls?
Well, who knows? I guess it gets pretty dull shut up in those shells. Oysters probably make pearls just, you know, to pass the time.
But it's so dark in their shells. How can oysters see what they're doing?
Well, they wait until night when the starfish come out. But look, I don't want to argue about oysters or Mr. Steinbeck's book either. I had enough trouble buying it.
Trouble? What happened?
Well, I'm glad you asked me. This would be a very short program if you hadn't said that. Well, Friday afternoon, I started out for the bookshop. Here we are, Chaucer Head Bookshop. Say, there's a picture of Rudy Valley in the window. They must be advertising that new book, The Money Man. Well, I'll go in. I wonder if this clerk is busy. Pardon me, miss.
Just a minute, sir. I'm waiting on this gentleman.
Oh, excuse me.
Miss, do you have that new mystery, The Man Whose Face Was on Backward?
James Mason. James, what are you doing here at the mystery book counter?
I'm just looking around for ideas, Fred. I might find something I can use in my next picture.
Oh.
I've run across some fascinating crimes in this anthology.
Crimes?
Here's one. The Fatal Finger.
The Fatal Finger? What is that?
There's a murder.
Yeah?
The murderer hides in a pastry shop window under a pile of ladyfingers.
And the police catch the murderer?
Immediately.
Well, how?
When the police examine the pastry shop window...
Yes?
They notice that in among the lady fingers...
Yes?
There is a man finger.
That is an unusual case.
These others are incredible. Here's one. The man with the glass chest.
Well, what is that?
The man has a glass chest.
Yes?
His wife looks in and sees that the man's heart has stopped beating.
His heart has stopped?
Yes, but his wife doesn't tell him.
And?
The man goes on living for 20 years after he's dead.
Say, these stories are unbelievable.
Now, look at this one. The canary with the neon beak.
The canary has a neon beak?
Yes, the canary flies around at night and puts its beak into keyholes.
Yes?
The neon beak lights up and the canary's owner can see to pick the locks.
Look, James. These plots are not for you. This stuff is for Mr. District Attorney or the mystery chef. You
know.
Look, if you want a real crime story, James, I have written...
No, thank you, Fred. I think I'll look around a little more.
Well, is that all you do here in New York, James? Try to find mystery plots?
No, Fred, I've been making some guest appearances on the radio. Last month, I was on We the People.
We the People? Hey, that must have been an experience.
It was, Fred. I met some weird characters.
What weird characters? Who was on the show?
Well, there was the midget mermaid.
A midget mermaid?
Yes, she was half girl and half sardine.
Fine.
There was a man who, because of the housing shortage, lived in a bass drum.
Lived in a bass drum? Say, his life must have been rather dull.
On the contrary, this chap got quite a bang out of it.
I can imagine.
The most incredible thing I saw was a man with 3 heads and 6 arms.
3 heads and 6 arms? He was on the program?
No, he was in the audience.
Probably the sponsor. What else have you been doing in your spare time?
Well, we had a rousing New Year's Eve, Fred.
We?
Yes. I spent New Year's Eve with my English friends, Basil Rathbone for Cedric Hardwick and Roland Young.
Oh, say, what did you four do, James?
Well, we had reservations at a little English place uptown, Ye Olde Kipper Copper Kettle.
Ye Olde Kipper Copper Kettle, huh?
We arrived promptly at 8:30, put on our paper hats, and sat down.
Yes?
And at 11:30...
Wait a minute. What did you do from 8:30 to 11:30?
Roland Young was telling a very humorous story.
It took 3 hours for Roland Young to tell a funny story?
No, it took 3 hours to explain the joke.
Oh. Roland was explaining the joke to you fellows?
No, we were explaining it to Roland.
Well, how did you make out?
Oh, finally, we broke it up. We're going to meet someday next week and laugh at it.
I see.
Promptly at midnight, I picked up my tin horn and blew a rousing blast.
Yes?
We raised our glasses and drank a toast.
To see the new year in?
To see Aubrey Smith.
Yeah, James, you went the entire swine.
Yes, Fred. And now that the holiday's over, I'm back trying to find a story for my new...
James, believe me, I have the perfect story for you.
What's it about?
Well, as I have written it, the picture opens with a fanfare.
J. Arthur Allen Pictures Limited presents James Mason in...
The Psychopathic Speculator.
Or...
He made a killing, but they called it murder.
My name is Percy Peters. Tomorrow I shall be hanged for murder. The newspapers will want my story. This is it. For years I've been a gambler, speculating in cotton, oil, wool, and recently grain. Things have been going badly. I owed £50,000. I had to have the money immediately. I conceived a plan that would make me a millionaire. On the night of December 10th, I was seated in the study preparing my strategy when Chung, my houseboy, entered.
Oh, dinner is served, Mr. Peters.
Later, Chung.
Oh, but the Chung make a special English blue plate. Beef and kidney chow mein, a bloat of sub gum, mutton chop suey, everything piping hot.
I'm sorry, Chung, but I'm expecting Sir Hubert Hives, the bee baron.
Oh, Sir Hubert Hives.
Yes. Sir Hubert arrives. When he arrives, show him in immediately.
Very good, sir.
If this deal goes through tonight, I shall be a millionaire. Chung, how would you like to be a millionaire?
Not a Chinaman's chin. Chung, go now.
As I sat there, I went over my plan again in detail. It was perfect. I could wipe out my debt. All that stood between me and £1,000,000 was Sir Hubert Hives.
I'm asking it's Sir Hubert Hives. Earl Percy, old duck.
Sir Hubert, Percy. Have you brought the bees?
Yes, sir, outside in the bee crate, Percy. You can hear them in the hall. I shall open the door. There are 2 million of them.
Excellent, Sir Hubert, excellent.
Yes, oh boy, that'll be 1,000 guineas. I should like to be reimbursed immediately.
You'll have to trust me, Sir Hubert. I'll pay you next week.
I say, no money, no bees. Good night.
Sir Hubert, if you turn me down, I'll lose a fortune. You'll have to let me have those bees.
Over my dead body, Peters.
Very well, if that's the way you want it.
Peters, put down that statue.
I hadn't meant to kill him. But I had to face the fact that Hubert Hives was dead and I was a murderer. Without those 2 million bees, I was lost. I had no choice. I had to brazen it out. I put Sir Hubert's bowler hat back on his head to cover the wound and propped him up in a chair. I placed the broken statue back on the mantel, threw the pieces into the fireplace, and picked up the telephone. Hello, hello, give me the police.
Summoning all vehicles, calling Detective One Long Pan. Proceed to Percy Peters' residence at Wickenham Terrace, Hound's Ditch. There's been foul play. Calling One Long Pan.
Greetings and shalom alaikum, kiddies. Detective One Long Pan, China J. Edgar Hoover on job. Feuder, a fusser, a fighter. Long Pan, get confession enlightened. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Long Pan, potential Burl Ives. Burl Ives.
I say, Celestial, will you stop that infernal racket?
Who are you, Mr. Kibbitz, sir?
I am Percy Peters, master of this house.
Very good, Mr. Peters. Nobody move. Who is that in chair anticipating? Not moving.
He was formerly Sir Hubert Hives. He's dead.
Dead? Long Pan alias you, Mr. Peters, for murder Sir Hubert Hives. Long Pan, work fast tonight. Work very fast.
This is ridiculous. Sir Hubert died from natural causes.
Why? Why Sir Hubert die in chair and not on floor?
He was very neat.
Also has hat on.
He knew he was leaving.
Very good. Long Pan not horse around. Long Pan examine body. Oh ho, you see?
What?
Holy smoke, look at body's hand. Look at leg. Look at face. Sir Hubert, very lumpy.
Sir Hubert was always lumpy. He was a bee breeder.
Bee breeder?
Yes. Only tonight he brought me 2 million bees. They're here in the hall. I'll open the door.
He buys 2 million bees.
They knew, but was obviously stung many times in the process of packing the bees. The accumulation of poison must have killed him.
You plenty glib, Mr. Percy Peters, but are not fool a long pan. Why you catch him two million bees?
I'm very fond of honey.
Oh, exceptionally funny, but not true, Mr. Peters.
Evening, Mr. Peters.
Oh-ho, woman in case. Long pan cherche la dame. But thicken.
Don't be absurd. This is Molly, the upstairs maid.
Molly, confidentially shot the doc and the dumpy. You upstairs maid?
That's right.
Then what you do downstairs?
It's me night off. I'm just coming in.
Oh.
Molly doesn't know anything, long pan. She wasn't even in the house.
Exactly. Long pan, the next question trap you, Mr. Peters. Who was in the house?
Only Chung, my houseboy. I'll ring for
him. Oh, very good. Long pan grill Chung to fare well.
Oh, you were ringing, Mr. Peter?
Chung!
Long pan!
Oh, long pan, no see.
Yes, we ding dong ding dong.
Oh, sing low, whoop,
oh. Oh, if I ding dong, mugu gai pan.
Mugu gai pan.
You two know each other?
Oh, Chung and Long Pan member same chapter. Anime Wong fan club. Formerly loyal friend Jack Iger.
Oh, yes.
If Chung is your friend, surely you couldn't suspect him.
Long pan give Chung fast flesh, routine check. Oh, you see, you catch him on the mandolin coat. You see?
What?
A lewalawa.
Hello,
lewalawa. Very good, Chung. You maybe explain lewalawa.
Oh, very simply. Use lewalawa prepare breakfast, Mr. Peter.
Use lewalawa prepare breakfast.
Yes, that's right, Long Pan. You see, I like my cereal shot from guns. That's the one he uses.
Oh. Holy smoke, this a gun loaded?
Loaded with Wheaties, don't point.
Oh, that's
well, Long Pan, now are you satisfied?
Long Pan seemingly baffled, but not for long. Long Pan examined body. Something very suspicious.
Suspicious?
Sir Hugh, but sitting in chair, gradually growing taller.
Taller? But he's dead.
Sir Hugh, but suddenly have long forehead. Longer pan than long pan. Look at hat.
He always wore his hat high on his head.
But head 2 feet higher than when long pan first come in. Long pan check, you know. On the hat, Sir Hubert has jumbo-sized lump.
Probably infected by a jumbo-sized bee.
No, this lump a handmade, caused by blunt instrument.
You mean?
Long pan alert you, Mr. Percy Peters, for murder Sir Hubert High.
Pitfall, you say I killed Sir Hubert, but you haven't found a motive or a
long
weapon.
Long pan soon find weapon. You see here on mantle, statue Lord Nelson, broken in two, half Nelson. Percy Peters, break statue hitting Sir Hubert on medulla oblongata, blow fatal.
But why should I kill Sir Hubert?
You need the 2 million bees, Mr. Percy Peters. You owe money. You catch them bees, you make fortune. You fess up.
Yes, I was going to make millions. I got the idea when Petrillo put the ban on record. With 2 million bees, I would have enough wax to keep the jukeboxes in record for years.
But too late, Mr. Percy Peters. Confucius say, man who cannot get wax from bees, many times get wax from Johnson. Oh, like man in incinerator, long pan, hot tonight. So I want to thank James Mason for being with us tonight. And before we close up our Ford agency for the evening, I'd like to tell you why it pays to bring your Ford back home for service. Frankly, I don't know a carburetor from a spark plug, but it does make sense to trust your car to the man who naturally knows it best. And, of course, Ford dealers know Ford's best. So when your Ford needs service, take it back home to your Ford dealer. Next week, our guests will be Miss Shirley Booth and Robert White. Thank you and good night. Good night. Thank you. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.